Welcome to Coach Your Brains Out, the show that explores learning from the top minds in volleyball and beyond. With your hosts, John Mayer, Billy Allen, Andrew Fuller, and Nils Nielsen.
Today, we're thrilled to be joined by the Pittsburgh Pirates Director of Mental Strength, Bernie Holiday. Bernie, thanks for joining us.
I'm excited to be back. I had really enjoyed my conversation with you guys the last time, and I'm both humbled and honored that you guys want me back on the podcast.
Well, we're thrilled to have you back. You're one of my favorite guests and Billy's favorite guests, as well as a lot of our listeners. So we're so excited to have you back. Since coming on the show, you've been getting back into working with volleyball teams. You're with the Pitt indoor team, who's having an amazing season. And the LMU beach team, you were just with us a couple weeks ago. What have been some of your impressions being back in the volleyball world?
Yeah, I've been an adopted baseball man. Baseball's paid the bills, and I've learned to love the sport, but I didn't know much about it. But volleyball's always been a passion of mine, so it's been super exciting to get back into that world and to be able to contribute to that community. And I guess as I've been around that community, the thing that jumps out at me most, it might be a small circle. It may be the larger community as a whole, but it's just your commitment to learning and to mastery. It seems like both the staff and the players, they really value being learn-it-alls rather than know-it-alls. And I know some sports tend to have more of a know-it-all facade where you feel that from the coaches, you feel that from the players. They've got it all figured out. Unless you've played 20 years or coached 20 years at the highest level, they've got nothing for you. So the volleyball community seems very open to being learn-it-alls and to wanting to learn, grow, and master their craft. I guess the second thing is y'all are really good at motor learning and skill acquisition compared to a lot of sports that I've been around. Just the ability to architect a practice in a way that's going to transfer into games seems to be the volleyball world's at a much further along level than baseball for sure. Baseball as an industry is very far behind, but we're catching up. We're getting better there, but I think we're really modeling off of what a lot of you guys are doing. And I guess the third and final thing is really what I watched from you guys, what I watched from Pitt, what I've watched from some of the volleyball teams I've been around recently is there's a great blend of high care coupled with high challenge. It's obvious that players care about the coaches care about the players, and that allows them to challenge each other and to push each other to grow. The standards are high, the challenge is high, a ton of informational feedback, and very little of that empty praise, that attaboy, attagirl. It's a lot more informational in terms of trying to reach that high standard that's being set. And I think where baseball needs to get to is the high challenge piece. I think we've got high care, but because of that, we're afraid to hurt relationships, so we don't push, we don't challenge as much as we can. And I think volleyball coaches are really darn good at that.
That was some very helpful, informative praise, not attaboy praise. So thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. You did a great job.
Yeah, there you go.
And Bernie,
now you're back in baseball.
Bernie, I've heard that the argument from people that are maybe a little skeptical of the motor learning, saying, well, baseball and basketball and stuff like that doesn't do it as much. And they have so much more money and so much more, you know, insight. Like, shouldn't we be following them? So I guess why would baseball or maybe some major sports be behind volleyball on that curve?
A couple thoughts come to mind. The first is that we are a very tradition rich sport in baseball. We've been around for over 100 years. And because baseball is a very small community, the answer is, well, we do it this way because I did it this way and it worked for me. And the other answer is, well, it's gotten people to the big leagues in the past for 100 years. People have gotten to the big leagues doing it this way. So why should we change what's working? And where I think we're starting to get to is to recognize, well, yeah, it's gotten big leaguers to the big leagues, but what if they were better longer at the big league level? And maybe there's a way that we can infuse science with tradition that can allow us to get players to the big leagues faster, get them there so they can have more success and have more success for a longer career. So I think the tradition and the dogma of such a tradition-rich sport gets in the way at times.
Yeah, that makes sense. Cool. Well, today's topic is training and trusting mindset. Can you start by taking us through, I guess, what a training mindset is and defining that?
Sure thing. And as I think about that question, I probably can't do it without talking a little bit about trusting mindset so I can contrast the two. But I'll focus more on the training mindset now. Back in 2004, I worked at the United States Military Academy at West Point, and I was doing mental skills work there full time. My mentor, a guy named Doc Zinser, Doc Z, he said something very profound that's with me and forever changed the way I viewed performance. We were in his office once talking about peak performance mentality, and Doc Z said, you know, Bernie, the mentality that brings skill in is different, way different than the mentality that lets skill out. And I looked at him with crossed eyes. I'm like, what in the world are you talking about? And he said, well, let me explain. The thoughts and the way you focus that allows you to bring skill in is way different than the thoughts and the focus that allows you to unleash your skills in competition. And it really took hold and made me really think about the way that I've been developed as an athlete, as a former collegiate tennis player, and the way that I've been developing my athletes until that point when I heard that profound statement. And the training mindset is the mindset that brings skill in, whereas the trusting mindset is the thought process and the focus that lets skill out. And the two are very complementary. You need both. But what I've seen in my travels is that most people are over-reliant on the training mindset, and they've got an underdeveloped trusting mindset. So much of the work I've done, especially at the West Point, was helping to strengthen and bolster the trusting mindset so that it can balance out the training mindset that they've had. So to get back to your initial question of what is the training mindset, it's really the mindset that develops competence. It's the getting good process where if you think about getting good at volleyball, you may start when you're 6, 7, or 8 years old and you go to a coach, a club coach or a parent, and you say, I really like the sport. How do I get better? And they tell you, well, you got to work hard. You got to try hard. You got to think carefully about what you're doing and you'll get better. So we enter that process and lo and behold, it works. We start to develop skill. We start to get better at what we're doing. And so we double down on the work hard, try hard, think about it method. We work harder, try harder, think about it even more. And we continue to get better, not because it's the right way, but because we just haven't been that good to begin with. We're still beginning. But we grow up believing that working hard, trying hard, and thinking carefully about everything we do is the answer. And as I talk through training mindset, you're going to hear me use probably 6 phrases that really capture the essence of training mindset. Those 6 phrases are work hard, try hard, and think about what you're doing, and analyze it, criticize it, and judge it. Because that's what we need to get better. We need to be able to work and to try and to dissect what we're doing. We need to be able to analyze our movements, criticize our fundamentals, judge them as right or wrong, and make adjustments along the way. And that's the getting good process. And that's really what the training mindset is about, is leveraging those 6 qualities. Work hard, try hard, think about what you're doing, analyze it, criticize it, and judge it. Now, as we get into the trusting mindset later on today, I'll talk about some of the byproducts that come with that. But really, that's how we develop competence and develop our skill set.
And so it sounded like being around baseball, being around the Pirates, a lot of the time, I'm wondering how much of the time in practice is in the training mindset. And then ideally, how much time do you think coaches should be spending in practice in the training mindset?
The trap you'll see is, I think when you think about training mindset brings skill in, trusting mindset lets skill out, the commonsensical approach is, oh, well, we should use the training mindset for practice, and then we should use the trusting mindset for matches. Mm-hmm. And while that makes a lot of sense, commonsensically, it doesn't really pan out in terms of habit forming. And I remember coming from your world, Carl McGowan talks a lot about you get good at doing what you spend your time doing. So in my ideal world, I like the 51-49% rule, where if you've got to practice, 49% of the time you're in the training mindset as an athlete, and 49% of the time you're giving training mindset directed feedback as a coach. And 51% of the time, you're in the trusting mindset as an athlete. 51% of the time, you're giving trusting mindset generated feedback as a coach. Because if you figure you get good at doing what you spend your time doing, if you're spending all of your practice time working hard, trying hard, thinking about what you're doing, analyzing everything, criticizing everything, judging everything, you've gotten good at 2 things. You've gotten good at your fundamentals, and you've gotten good at overworking, over trying, overthinking, overanalyzing, overcriticizing, overjudging. And they become the thought habits that develop as a result of being over-reliant on that training mindset. So I think it's really, really appropriate for developing volleyball keys in breakdown style drills. I know, John, you talked about at your practice, you've got a tutor phase of your practice where you're working mm-hmm. on more of a breakdown aspect, working on individual skill development and fundamentals. And I think the training mindset is very appropriate for that part of practice. And then you shifted to more of a competition phase of practice, where I think that's where the trusting mindset now comes into play. But athletes too often carry that training mindset throughout the rest of practice, carry into the competition phase as well. I also think it's really appropriate for very young athletes who don't really have a skill set yet. They've got extensive skill building yet to do. It works well for them, or athletes in the process of a major overhaul. You're trying to really change something about an athlete's approach or something about an athlete's platform passing, and it's going to be a major overhaul that might require a lot more training mindset, where they're really analyzing their mechanics, thinking about what they're doing, judging it as right or wrong and making adjustments. I think it's less appropriate, the training mindset, with elite athletes who are already highly defined at what they do. I think college athletes, professional athletes spend far too much time in the training mindset because they're already good at what they do, and they need to start to strengthen and flex that training, that trusting mindset muscle. And I also think the depth of season plays a part of it, that as you go through a season, off season and preseason, probably a lot more training mindset where you're analyzing, criticizing, judging, working, trying, and thinking. But then as you get into the season, you get closer to the postseason, I think to kind of wean off that training mindset mode and really start to flex the muscles of that trusting mindset way of thinking and way of focusing is where to go.
Awesome. And so if you're in that, let's say the tutors or the part of practice where you're working on the training mindset, as a coach, what kind of feedback would you be giving? What does that sound like during the training mindset portion?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably not as much a result of the outcome of your actions. You're not looking at whether or not the ball was killed, went down, whether or not it was a point. I think it's more focused on skill execution and focused on how effective the fundamentals are and how consistent the fundamentals are. I think about, I know John talks a lot about where your feedback is. Is it proximal, meaning close to you and your body and how your body is moving through space and time to play the ball? Or is it more distal, meaning on the other side of the net and how you want to attack and exploit the opponent? I think when it comes to the training mindset mode in these tutor style drills, that feedback is going to be a lot more proximal. It's going to be a lot more focused on how am I moving my body through space and time to play the ball effectively and consistently. So I think about things like slow, fast, or fast on the approach. I've heard a lot of volleyball people talk about that. The arm swing having more of that bow and arrow style might be an example of proximal feedback that's really emphasizing the training mindset mode. Another way to look at it is, and this might be oversimplifying it, but training mindset style feedback is really about how we're playing the ball, whereas trusting mindset feedback is more about where we're playing the ball, where we're trying to serve to, where we're trying to pass to, where we're trying to set to, whether it's middles or the pins, where we're trying to hit to on the court. So that training mindset feedback is focused on how we're playing the ball, on how we're moving our bodies, how we're executing the fundamentals.
So then, yeah, I think when you're in this, you know, you said the thinking, judging, trying, analyzing kind of mode, what sort of outcomes would an athlete expect, or what sort of outcomes should a coach expect when they're in this, yeah, in this training mindset?
I think what you're looking for is competence and their ability to do the fundamentals, to do the basic volleyball keys, to do them right, and to do them consistently. And I think the training mindset gets you there, the ability to analyze what you're doing, being critical of your performance, judging the goods and the bads, and making the adjustments along the way, and really thinking carefully about how you're moving and how you're attacking the ball and addressing the ball. I think that's the result's going to be you're going to do it right. You're going to do it consistently. However, the flip side of the coin is you're going to develop competence often at the expense of confidence, because you're focusing a lot on error correction, on trying to right some wrongs or trying to fix some things that aren't going right. And that critical nature, that judgmental nature, is going to actually beat up your confidence. So while you're building competence, you often see this byproduct of reduced confidence in the athlete, because that's all they're using is that training mindset mode to get better.
And a question I hear sometimes is coaches wondering how much should we be working on what were our strengths and how much would we be like fixing our weaknesses. So would the training mindset be a lot more addressing some of those limitations and the weaknesses to gain competence?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. It's really that the training mindset mode is really on error correction and error refinement and trying to shore up some of the mistakes so that we're more consistent and more effective in fundamentals. Whereas I think when you look at the trusting mindset, it's much more of a strengths-based approach. It's much more emphasizing their signature strengths, emphasizing and catching them doing things right and really being informational on what went right to make that happen. So when you're in that training mindset mode, it is much more error correction, which builds the competence. But again, that's why the confidence takes a hit sometimes.
Yeah. And what sort of results do you commonly see in the training mindset?
That's funny you asked. It's kind of a catch 22 in a way. The athletes will become much more proficient in controlled settings, in block style drills and slower moving drills. They'll be able to execute the fundamentals really well. But you'll start to see they have a harder time translating this development to more game speed, more game stress, more scrimmage style drills, or even competition itself. That's when you're going to see the fundamentals break down. So what's ironic about the training mindset, and that's all you've got, when all you know is about how do I get better? I get better by analyzing, criticizing, judging, by overworking, overtrying, and overthinking what I'm doing. That's going to get them 80% to their potential. But then it becomes the very thing that keeps them from reaching the final 20%. So where it's gotten them so far, it becomes a limiting factor for them reaching that final destination of how truly good they can be.
Right. And so, yeah, so there are negative byproducts of spending too much time in that training mindset?
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of good that comes from it because of the competence building process and building that foundation, those fundamentals. But again, getting back to Carl McGowan's statement, you get good at doing what you spend your time doing. If all we've got is a training mindset way of viewing our sport and viewing our development, if all we know is to be very analytical, critical, and judgmental of how we are performing and to be an overworker, overtryer, and overthinker, then if that's all we do, we get really good at doing that. And even though in matches, we know in a match, we're supposed to go to trusting mindset mode, it becomes very, very difficult to flip the switch because all we've ever practiced is training mindset tendencies. So they become our habits. We become really good at overanalyzing, overcriticizing, overjudging, overthinking, overtrying, and overworking. And I know when you talk to athletes, when you ask them, hey, what do you like when you're in a slump? What do you like when you're out of sorts? What do you like when you're off out of sorts? And they'll often say, you know, I'm thinking about everything. I'm hard on myself. I'm critical of everything I'm doing. I'm very judgy of what I'm doing. I'm overanalyzing my mechanics. I'm thinking about tempered aspects of platform passing while I'm trying to pass. And I'm overtaxed, overtight, and nothing's working. So ironically, the things they describe that causes them to choke or to slump are the very things that they've developed through that training mindset mode. So whereas it gets you good, it gets you with byproducts, is that you get very good at that way of thinking and you can't turn it off unless you've been able to balance that over time. Well, what's kind of ironic about it is we often have coach, and kind of share this with a coach or a player, they suddenly go, hey, you know what? That's me. You just described me. And I look at my own tennis career, and I was very much a type A perfectionistic workaholic athlete who relied only on the training mindset. And I became my worst enemy. And it seems like I think a lot of coaches and a lot of players who were very type A, very perfectionistic, very controlling workaholics, very overcoachable, they develop a love affair with the training mindset. And while it gets them good, those byproducts, those tendencies to want to overanalyze, overcriticize, overjudge, overthink, overtry, and overdo, that's the very thing that jacks them up when they're in competition under high stakes. So it got us thinking, there's got to be something more. There's got to be a different way of looking at how do I unleash the skills I developed? How do I unlock? How do I free up the skills so that I can really execute to my potential now that I've developed all the skill?
Yeah, and I think I'm definitely not a type A, and I still felt like you were describing me with overthinking during play. So it makes sense to me that like the first half of practice or the first 49% is like tutoring and maybe more drill, block base or whatever, where you can give that training mindset. Is there times or value in having a training mindset in more of a competition setting, or is it like anytime there's a score, you should kind of just switch to the trusting mindset?
I think it's a weird dance that actually has to happen. I think if there's a score and if there's a match, it's more of a flowing between training and trusting mindset. You never want just one or the other. I think when you're going into a match, if you think about going into a competition, those hours or those minutes leading up to it, I think back to in high school or in college when you've got a final exam and you see those students in the class and they're sitting at their desk and they're flipping rapidly through their notes and they're cramming through their books in the last minute trying to jam information into their heads. And you know all they're doing is confusing themselves, causing doubt and causing their blood pressure to rise and cortisol to flood their system and freak them out. And I think that's where if we're in training mindset mode leading up to a match in those hours and minutes before you start to play, you're probably in that same state as that student trying to cram for a test and just causing panic in their body rather than learning how to trust, relax, and recognize, hey, I'm ready, I'm prepared, let's go. But I think once you get into the match, there's going to be an actual ebb and flow to it where between points, there's going to be a moment where I need to be in training mindset mode and try to analyze what happened last point. Do I need to make an adjustment? Should I stay the course? And then find a way to be able to use a trigger to move into trusting mindset mode and then be ready when that whistle blows in trusting mindset mode for that next point. And I also think even, you know, to your sport, Billy, you know, those switching sides, when you have a side change, you've got a few minutes where you can analyze and judge whether or not your strategy is working with you and your partner and then commit to something. And once you commit to something, you're ready for that whistle to blow. And now you're back in trusting mindset mode. I think timeouts are the same way, that there's a moment where a coach can pull his team to the sidelines or her team to the sidelines and go to training mindset mode and analyze, hey, here's the last couple points. Here's the last run of 6 points against us. Here's what we're doing. Let's commit to this. And then to be able to go back into trusting mindset with something you committed to and get back into trusting mindset mode for the next point as that whistle blows. So I wouldn't say it's all about trusting mindset when you're in competition. It's more having sort of that dance where you're flowing back and forth through it. But what I do see, and what I know a lot of the athletes in volleyball have told me, is they tend to be too trading mindset mode too often in competition. And they wish they could find ways to be more trusting mindset when they actually compete. I don't know if that makes any sense. I felt like I rambled there.
Yeah, no, for sure. It made sense. And I was thinking more like in practice when it gets towards like a scored game. But yeah, it makes sense that you could balance both training and trusting during those times.
Oh, yeah. In practice, when you're getting more to a scrimmage style game or a scored game, I think that's a good time to shift your mindset, your thought process, your focus as an athlete, and your cueing and feedback as a coach to more of a trusting mindset mode of thinking, focusing as an athlete, or cueing and feedback as a coach. To use that as that transition point where, okay, we're done with the training mindset piece during this tutor phase. Now we're going to more of the competition phase of practice. Let's be a little bit more different in how we think about things. Let's be different in how we react to things. And as coaches, let's be different in how we provide feedback to things and focus more on that trusting mindset way of looking at that next part of practice.
Shifting now into the trusting mindset, you kind of defined it, but maybe can you go over it? I know you mentioned there are certain keywords you use in the training mindset. Are there keywords in the trusting?
There is, yes. I think if you ask the flip side of that question, you ask an athlete when they're going on really good, when they're in the zone or when they're in flow and they're playing really well, hey, how would you describe yourself then? They'll often say, you know, I wasn't thinking about it. I was just doing it. I wasn't forcing. I was just letting it happen. I wasn't working hard or pressing. I was just playing hard. And playing hard is way different than working hard. I wasn't overly critical or judgmental. I was just accepting what was happening, forgiving my errors and moving forward. Not really consumed by mechanics. I was playing the game more with my eyes and less with my head. And those are things you typically hear world-class performers and even amateur performers talk about when they're playing really well. And what they basically just described was the trusting mindset. So if you were to compare the two, as I broke down the training mindset for you previously, you know, the training mindset brings it in, the trusting mindset lets it out. It's more of an unlocking, more of a freeing way of thinking and focusing that lets us leverage all the work we've put in. The training mindset's more of a conscious product of making it happen. The trusting mindset's more of a letting it happen mentality. The training mindset seems to be more frontal lobe dominated with a very busy mind, whereas the trusting mindset is more sensory driven, more quiet minded, more frontal lobe dormant, where we're playing the game with our eyes, we're playing the game with our ears, more of a sense and react, a see ball, hit ball, rather than see ball, think about how to hit ball. Whereas the training mindset's about doing it right, the trusting mindset's more like Nike. It's just do it. And where, you know, we talked about the training mindset, I go back to the idea of, you know, it's overwork, overtry, overthink, overanalyze, overcriticize, overjudge. The trusting mindset, if you want to get words that kind of, that really capture the trusting mindset, and you want to hear me talk about this the rest of this podcast, it's about intention. Having a clear intention of here's what I'm trying to do, here's what I'm going to do. So in addition to intention, it's about conviction. I'm going to do it with certainty. And I think about, let's say, you've got that fifth set, the score is 14-15 against, you've got your jump server on the line. Are they going to attack it with conviction, or are they going to be careful, cautious, and timid in how they attack the jump serve? So there's that conviction element. There's the reckless abandon, which is basically, am I willing to take a chance, take a risk? I know John talked about reasonable risk, or am I going to play it safe? I think about being out of system, and you get those hitters who are out of system. They're going to jump high, try to hit high and deep into the corners, or you got ones who are out of system. They just want to set the ball in the middle of the court and reset. So it's about that reckless abandon and then acceptance for whatever follows. If I get blocked, it's okay, I got blocked. So what next point? If I shank a pass, it's okay, I shanked a pass. So what next point? And that acceptance isn't really apathy, but it's more the ability to move on from a mistake and to reset for what's next. So those would be probably the four things I'd say we're going to really focus on the trusting mindset. It's having a clear intention, having conviction and reckless abandon in how you execute that intention, then having acceptance for whatever follows. And those are really the key qualities mentality-wise and thought process-wise that really drive the trusting mindset. And those are the things that I encourage my coaches to ask questions about, provide feedback on. How intentional were you? How much conviction and reckless abandon did you bring to that execution of that rep? And are we able to accept it, move on, or are you stuck in it and carrying it with you?
Can you take us through, again, in the trusting mindset, say, you know, as matches get closer, how we would change as coaches, and I guess the amount of time, both as coaches and athletes, say if we're, say, like 2 weeks out, maybe the day before, or even just the warm up before. How does that vary?
There's probably going to be more art than science to it, but I've often described a crossover effect. And I use an example. Let's say as a volleyball team, you guys play on Friday night. You just finished a weekend of matches. It's Monday morning, and you play next this coming Friday. Probably Monday and part of Tuesday, those practices could be a lot more training mindset focused in terms of how the athletes are thinking and how the coaches are cueing and providing feedback, where you're focused on skill refinement, correction-based fixing some flaws that happened from the previous week. But then as you move through Tuesday into Wednesday and Thursday, I think you see this crossover where that training mindset emphasis of how we're thinking about our practice and our training, that sort of dies down, and that trusting mindset style of thinking, focusing, and providing feedback builds up. So as you get into Tuesday, Wednesday, and then ultimately into Thursday, right before the match, you see that increase in trusting mindset way of being on the court during practice, where, again, it goes less away from working on weaknesses and more toward reinforcing and trusting strengths. It becomes focused less on the mechanics of the movement, more on the execution of the strategies, the X's and O's of how we're going to exploit the opponent. And it becomes less about trying to manage, micromanage, and fix things, and more about accepting and moving forward. And you'll see that crossover, I think, as you go through a season. So early in the preseason, more training mindset mode. As you get through the season into postseason, more trusting mindset. I think you see through from week to week. And even probably as you build up to the match, you know, even like you talked about from the warm-up itself, the warm-up might start a little bit more training mindset, just making sure that we go through our compulsories and get our fundamentals down early in the warm-up. And then as you get close to the end of warm-up, it's more trusting mindset mode, let's go. And that leads right into the match.
And have you found that there are certain athletes that you work with that excel more in the training mindset? And I guess, how do you get them to shift into have more of a trusting mindset if it's not as natural?
And maybe not excel, but I would probably use the word, I know athletes, certain athletes display tendencies or preferences. Some have a tendency or preference to want to be in the training mindset more. And again, I referenced West Point athletes, and that's a strong engineering school. They love to think and analyze things. So as athletes, they love to think and analyze things. So if left to their own devices, these West Point athletes love to be in the training mindset mode. They would stay there 24/7 if you let them. And what tends to happen is, whereas they get really good at what they do, again, they carry a lot of that byproduct. They get too good at analyzing and criticizing and judging, and that carries into their matches. So I think with those guys who are type A, hardworking, perfectionistic, they tend to want to be in training mindset mode because that's where their comfort zone is. And it's helping tease that out and get more of that trusting mindset infused in. On the flip side of it, I think you'll see these guys that we typically call gamers, who rely on their raw talent. They rely on their natural athleticism. They rely on their natural instinct. And they play really well in games. They can just free it up and let it go, but they hate practice. And they scoff at drill work. They scoff at any kind of compulsory drills. And these would be examples of guys who are more pure trusting mindset athletes. That's all they've got. And that's where their comfort zone is. And they want to stay there. And that'll serve them really well to a point. And eventually they get to a point, whether college athletics or professional athletics, where everybody's talented. Everybody's really freaking good. And they can only get by and skate on just their pure athleticism, but yet they have never developed the training mindset to be able to complement their innate ability. And as a result, they start to fall behind at that point. So what you start to see is it's really a complementary nature and relationship between training and trusting mindset, and both are needed. It's more about the right timing. It's about the right feedback at the right time from the coaches. And I would probably say it's also ensuring that the trusting mindset is being practiced in practice, so that ultimately it becomes a dominant habit under stress, because under stress, we go back to what we do most often. So if our practices have 51% trusting mindset, that becomes our dominant habit under stress.
What would you say, what would you recommend in terms of feedback if we notice someone is more stuck in the training mindset and we're in competition or in practice where we want to compete? And what would you say to help get them to the trusting mindset?
Yeah, I don't know if it matters. I don't know if it differs much between practice. If we notice a person stuck more in training mindset mode in practice versus competition, I think there'll be right. similarities across. But right. I think a lot of it is catching them doing something right, and really highlighting with the informational statements that you've shared with me, John. You know, using an informational statement on what exactly went right that allowed them to have success. I think it's a lot of feedback that really reflects and reinforces their signature strengths. So when you see them play to their signature strength, to be able to reinforce and point out that. I think it's also some, you know, we talk about guided discovery and asking challenging questions that can reinforce how convicted they were, how intentional they were, and how much reckless abandon they brought. You know, we talked about the out-of-system third touch, you know, where there's an out-of-system third ball and it's a hittable ball, but the person stays on the ground and just sets it in the middle. And as a coach, being able to say, hey, you know, how much reasonable risk did you take there? What do you think could have happened if you took a more reasonable risk? Could you have gotten them out of system on the opposite side? And to challenge them on their level of conviction and reckless abandon, rather than getting caught in mechanical discussions of how their bodies are moving. The other thing I think is really important, and I've seen our pitching coaches do this really well on the baseball side, is as coaches, providing feedback that really reinforces acceptance, resetting, and moving forward. So there's a tendency by a lot of our coaches, and a lot of coaches in general, I think, want to fix a mistake when you see it. And part of being able to get a guy out of training mindset mode into trusting mindset mode is to be able to not have the urge to fix a mistake when you see it, but to help him move past it to the next point. So as a coach, be able to yell out, so what? Next point, Sarah, get the next one. Or I've even stood behind our pitching coaches in the dugout, and our guys on the mound might miss two spots in a row, and our pitching coach would yell out, so what? Next pitch. Just to remind the guy, hey, it's about moving on. It's not about trying to execute perfect. Hey, you missed it, move on. Yeah. So just in terms of how we get guys to recognize how to accept and move forward is a big part of giving feedback.
Yeah, and that accept and move forward feedback almost sounds foreign to me in a practice setting. Like it seems like you would hear it in a game, but in practice, it seems like you always expect to get some sort of feedback on what you could correct or how you would shift your body or whatever. So it's cool to be practicing that moving on and that acceptance.
It's a skill just like every other skill, and the only way we're going to get better at it is by practicing. But you're right. I think a lot of coaches and players focus more on, hey, practice is all about error correction so that we can play well in games. But they've never practiced accepting moving on. So there's tremendous value in practicing that in practice.
Thank you for listening to Coach Your Brains Out by Gold Medal Squared. That was part one with Bernie Holiday. Join us next week for part two, in which we dive into the trusting mindset.